you have to
Yep. Counsel.
And I believe I gave that to you at the last meeting.
Yep, right.
And I didn't know if you'd had it, and I know we've circulated again tonight just to make sure that you've had a copy. I didn't know if you'd had a chance to review it, if you had any comments or suggestions.
No, I do. I believe that's, you know, I like what you're, what you did, but I do have some additions to it that I think maybe may help, or it might consider the board.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman?
Okay.
Okay.
Yes, please.
I'm looking at, under signs, 115, 159.5, if for Elliott don't have it in front of you, what is it referring to is the electronic message displays. Mm. I've heard an awful lot of rumble throughout the county. Myself, irritated as a county citizen.
Right.
Of the glare that comes down, that they crank them up as hard as they can crank them up. Now, as a suggestion, I would like to say that they do have a meter that they could be metered, okay, for that illumination. It's not in the ordinance now. It's not in 159.5A4, if you really want to get down to it. It's got the 8-second, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000. So you got 8 seconds, so you can do that, an inspector can do that, but it doesn't have anything about the illumination. And I think that maybe county council would consider something like that, to ask planning and zoning to look into something of that nature, since it's such a, how should I say, an issue with people that talk to me, and myself, I've seen quite a few of it.
I would think that the people that it bothers would go and talk to their county councilman about it, and they could adopt the change the ordinance or whatever.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. They have asked me that.
Right. And I remember, though, that and I think that's what caused the 8-second rule and all those different things. When they first came about, there was one right there at the flea market in Laurel.
Right.
That if you if you sat absolutely at the stoplight, the way they had it flashing and all, you didn't. I particularly, for one, sat there at the light one night and thought there was an ambulance or an emergency vehicle that was wanting to get by, because it was flashing so brilliantly. And I think that's why they came out with that. But I would think that, you know, if it's a problem, that people would, it wouldn't be necessarily something that we would do. You know, we can, in our approval, we can, you know, determine that it should do certain things or not. But
the only time you'd see that at the board would be if they had applied for a variance, typically they're on premise.
Right.
But a few that are off premise that are LEDs.
Right.
And the issue that I think Mr. Rickard and Mr. Mills, what you were referring to, was the at night some of those LED lights are incredibly bright.
Right.
And mm-hmm. there are some ambient light dimmers, whereas the sun goes down, the lights on those dim, so because they can see, you can still see them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just they're not as bright, and that's something that should probably be looked at, I would think, at the county council level, not at this level. I think in looking at this correspondence, one of the things that I was looking at particularly were issues that we see at this level, at the board level, mm-hmm. as far as signs go, you know, things like definition of public lands, you know, things of that sort,
that, another,
you know, it would be helpful to have some clarity. You know, if you wanted me to include something there about the ambient lighting, you know, we could do that, but that's really not something that we see here. So I was trying to focus this on what we see here.
What you see here, but if the board, a paragraph in itself, that relate in this letter, since letters are already basically drafted, that makes reference to what Mr. Rickard said, or some of the other board members, that just for the board to also express concerns about blah, 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 blah.
As citizens, we've seen.
I think.
And I just said that there's a concern about the glare and the bright lights and We've had issues with one of the banks down on Route 1.
Right.
That it lit the whole area up because the light was so bright white.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked to them, and they, I don't remember who talked to them, but somebody talked to them, and they dimmed it, and it's not offensive now at all.
We have
that
several
I've noticed anyway.
That's right.
And there, mm-hmm. if you go down to Millsboro, there's an auto dealer that just put up an LED light, and it, I thought there was an accident or a big new stoplight up there when I came around the corner at Betts' Pond.
Mm-hmm.
It would change colors, and it just had to be the same color background as what the stoplight would be.
Mm.
Except for the white, it was bright white, green, yellow, and then red.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying, what's going on up there?
You know? Yeah.
I mean,
right on the building, right on the corner of it.
Right out front, yeah.
That's what yeah, we were right talking
out front. On prem, it was on premise.
Yeah,
yep.
Sure was.
That's what I'm doing.
We've had several done in Rehoboth, if you remember, at one time. But it's a good idea if it could maybe insert that.
Jamie, on that, I think you'd be throwing it back to the county because all your lights, we got LED lights too, and the firehouse, we do the same thing. You got a dimmer on. We had the same problem too. Ours is so bright. You know, but you can dim them down. The school's got one right there in Woodbridge. It's so bright, and they dimmed it down itself, so you can see it.
Yeah, you can put them on automatic dimmers.
Yeah,
for
but if you got a controller in that,
mm-hmm.
you got a controller in that. Can you,
but it's got to be in the ordinance that we can enforce.
But, I mean, it's going to come back to the county, you know, unless you get complaints or something about it.
Yeah.
Because the owner can control it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
well, that's the yeah, problem. It's same more problem. The owner can control the sequence of changes, too. Our regulations
right.
at 8 seconds, and on weekends are 4 and 6.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and flashing.
They come back up again, back to 8.
And 4 and 6, I'll tell you, it's too fast. Shucks.
You did.
Why, you can't read that?
No, I can't
going, read that. Going 70 miles an hour?
Well, ours is too fast up far.
And another one that I just want to throw out, if you want to, is the wall signs. I think the 15% is, and especially the in my area, the 15% application of wall signs, the area, is much too much because people are taking advantage of that. And I can see with the Midway, I should say there are stores down there and there is a place down there that does really reflect the 15% and plus. And the way they twist it and turn it, they can get that in there. And John, I know you've considered that before.
Well, it's never been a written rule or anything, the 15%. It's been
yeah.
just
it is in the code.
It is in the code. Oh yeah. I have it. It's
says one wall.
115
okay.
It says in addition to each store, shop, office and similar unit shall be permitted an off premise illuminating an awning, marquee, projecting wall sign or electric message display not exceeding a combination of signs of one sign or one sign or not exceeding 150 square feet. The sign shall not exceed 15% of the total square footage of the wall area where a wall exceeds 1,000 feet.
That's a wall area.
That's for a wall sign.
Right.
Right, for additional wall signs. We have we've said what 7%? We've used as a
used that as a.
But it's not in the ordinance.
It's not
right.
in the ordinance.
Right.
Want,
that's what I meant. Yeah.
Stick
yeah.
it in the ordinance, so
yeah.
we have that.
We haven't really had that many that went to the 15%.
Right.
We've had some that have come in and applied for square footage in excess of 150.
Right.
Which was also an amendment. It used to be 100.
Used to be 100. Yeah.
Yep.
Or a wall sign. And that's if you had 10 stores, you could have 10 150 footers.
But I think right. you're looking at 6%. We should have that in.
It's 7, wasn't it? We used
7.
Seven
we
seven.
Used as a guideline
yeah.
or a rule of thumb.
It would be good to put it in there, though. You used that. Remember, we had it for a while.
We did. Yeah, we did. Well, and that was with the outlets.
Yeah, it was all with the outlets is where they came about.
And boy, you're going to get more outlets, I think. We're
mm-hmm.
we're growing.
Mm-hmm.
We're growing.
It's a good idea to put it in there, though.
Okay. That
again, that
okay.
anything ordinance is typically county council though.
Well, I'm just saying that the board in the letter you're writing, because you're more
yeah,
specifically
to
related to billboards,
so.
You could
right.
add additional paragraph that the board's also concerned about.
15%
should consider
right.
glare. 15%
Ten.
The number of second interval between change of sign. That's
right.
right.
I can add something to that at the bottom paragraph or two
you
that addresses those two issues.
If you would, please. Okay.
I have one other, if, and that, of course, is the off-premise sign, and I know that you've covered it pretty much so, but I had some ideas that may, you know, and this is what we're here for, that may help, may not, you might not be interested in it, but as it reads now, it says that an off-premise sign obtaining a special use exception, right? Now, with a special use exception, if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't affect the area, you know, the surrounding area, and it's permitted. You can have a 50-foot, you meet all the criteria, okay, which the 200 feet is a minimum front yard setback of 25 feet, anything exceeding 200 feet. 50 feet in the side and 300 feet or a total of 600 feet each side, right? That means if it doesn't affect anything, that you can have a billboard anywhere in Sussex County. You agree? Mm-hmm.
Right? It's commercial.
Right. It's commercial. AR1, commercial. Right?
Commercial,
I meant to say. We're getting where they want to go higher. They want bigger signs. Okay. Due to, and thank God we had that meeting of the heights. Remember, we had the meeting with County Council that wanted to change the height. Thank God we didn't go there based on some of the our other issues that we had talked about, safety issues and et cetera. But, of course, there also I said, well, my goodness, if we got higher and higher, that means that they'd be coming to us with adjustments on the heights also in these areas where we can get, you know, here I have a piece of ground and I want to get higher, for this, so you can see my billboard, because the buildings, so on. I thought there would have to be a third category, like it says now, anything exceeding 200 square, not exceeding 200 square feet, there's et cetera, right? Anything signs exceeding 200 square feet shall have a minimum setbacks, right? I'm saying anything now, maybe over 600 square feet should either be looked at as another sign, okay? Should it be something, anything over 600 square feet, say on a four-lane highway, could be, let's say, 700 square feet, and it could be 35 feet high, but it has to be, instead of 50 feet, it has to be, you know, 65 feet. I'm just throwing numbers out. Where we wouldn't have to get all these adjustments that we have to do that will restrict them to the point where they're not closing in on some of these subdivisions and things that are going to be there in the future. And subdivisions are coming. We know they're coming. The county's growing. And I think that we would need something like that. And you can even get a scale of every 5 feet that you increase the sign every 100 feet, let's say 100 square feet, you increase the sign and you have a 5 foot setback plus 5 foot, 55 feet, da da da, right? So I was wondering if maybe, we could look into that, the county council could look into that and make our job a lot easier instead of having all these variances come in there and have a third category that I think that maybe the off-premise sign should have.
To allow size and setback options.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the things in the correspondence, Mr. Rickard, was we noted in there that there's not necessarily a distinguishing characteristic in our code, and I think this is what you're saying, between a two-lane road and a four-lane road.
Correct.
Use Route 9, for example. There are, I know on my way home, I see several billboards, and then as I turn on a Route 1, I see several more.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And if you're driving on Route 9, you are closer to that sign than if you're driving on Route 1. I think we've raised that issue in this letter.
Okay.
and kind of, and if you want to elaborate on more, we can talk about that. But I think we've put in there that, you know, we have seen that there are signs on the larger roads, 13, 113, Route 1 versus Route 9, Route 24, some of the two-lane roads that have heavy traffic and billboards. And I think that that puts it, you know, it really what I was, what I, when looking at this letter, is it's a way to show some of the things that we see at our level that maybe we could, would like to see council review and address at their level because they have the legislative authority to do so.
Right.
So I think and if you don't agree with me, but I think we may have addressed some of those things in this letter.
Right, where it says many applicants have argued, that addresses the difference in multi-lanes.
Well, like I said, I haven't had a chance to really go over it, you know, but I wanted to get that out. My points and the reason we're here tonight, and I'm sure you probably did cover it if you're saying you covered that area. But I haven't had a chance to read that, and I wanted to make sure that we were going to address something in that area.
And perhaps some formula that could be worked in there where if due to some need you go up, maybe the separation distances expand or the setback requirements expand so that you're further away from other signs, residential properties, because in theory you'd be seen by them more so now that you're higher or larger.
Exactly, right, exactly. You put it.
That could be part of the discussion at the council level.
Let me throw out one more thing along those lines about billboards, and I don't know. I'd like to see what everybody would think about something like, and depending on the different types of highways and everything. How about if we, or if the county council would limit so many billboards per linear distance, like quarter mile versus half mile? They do.
Well, it's 300 feet.
Yeah, 300 feet.
That's it. Well, from any church or any.
There are beginning to be a few places in the county that, you could stand there, you could stop your car, pull off the side of the road, and start looking at billboards all around. And, so I guess I'm just throwing that out there for discussion.
I understand, yeah.
And, that's a good point.
And as to Bud's point, Route 1 versus a Route 9 or Route 24, like Jamie was talking about, you could deviate the distance from whatever... whatever highway it might be.
Distance between billboards, you mean? The distance between the billboards.
In the areas, yeah, between them.
Can we limit the size sign on like Route 9, the two-lane highway? Can we limit that to this 300 square foot sign?
Well,
size?
You know,
it already is.
But maybe what I think maybe we're looking at is two classifications of the properties where this could be on, which is. You have a property along a Route 9, we'll just use that for example. That would be a classification with one set of standards, and a property along Route 1 may be another set of standards.
Yeah.
And perhaps it, and if this is where council was looking to go, and I don't know that they are, but if it sounds like from what we see, you know, if you're on that four-lane road, maybe you allow them to go taller and bigger, separation distances go out commensurate with that.
Yeah.
If you go up higher, you got to be further away from another billboard or another piece of property or something along those lines.
Yeah.
That I would think would probably alleviate some of your concerns, Mr. Hudson, about you look out there and you see there's a 300 feet and there's another 300 feet, there's another 300 feet,
yeah.
All the way down, you know, till there's no more.
Right.
Yeah.
And then,
by
the same token, you've got a 2-lane road and. You know, you've got a curve or what have you, and you've got billboards everywhere, planted everywhere. And,
dangerous. I'll go on that. That's a good question.
Well, just so the board knows, because I'm not sure that you know, the Department of Transportation has a functional classification map, and it tells you which ones are major primary arterial roads, collector roads, et cetera. And they have different requirements for different different things, not just signs, but different things on some of those routes. And it's accessible to get that map so you can see where they work. Like, for example, at least 13, 113, and 1 are a certain classification. 924, 26, 54 are another classification. And there's, and then you have local and collector roads also. A lot of roads. But it's very limited where you can put signs because it's got to be in question as far as off premise.
Okay.
That raises a perhaps a good segue, Mr. Lank, in that LDOT has reached out and has indicated they'd like to have input. I don't know that they would any decision-making authority, but more the opportunity to see any billboard applications and give their 2 cents. I don't know if that's something the board is interested in having somebody from LDOT, because it is, you know, whether it substantially affects adversely uses of neighboring adjacent properties. I know from time to time we have one, maybe it's on a corner, and kind of interested to see if that's going to impact any views of traffic and whatnot.
That's probably why originally it was a function of LDOT and not us, right?
Yeah, the statute put it in LDOT's hands, and then but provided a local jurisdiction didn't come up with its own regulations, which we have. So,
our billboard attorney he addresses that each time. I listen for that, and he addresses when he presents his case. He presents LDOT's. Okay, I should take on the
considerations.
Right. So I listen for that each time.
Do you think it'd be helpful if we were to get that kind of input?
I think so.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. Even a letter from the director or whomever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. Someone has done the study.
That states it either has no impact or little impact, you know, or
yeah,
a considerable impact.
Yeah, because I'm listening for all that, John, as I go through. I just want to say
I think that's a great idea.
The enabling legislation that created zoning provided for a commission, board, a levy court at that time was the primary jurisdiction, but it was changed to a county council. It was provided that there are certain ex officio members to the commission, and I have to look to see if it includes the board, but its ex officio members include LDOT, Department of Public Health, the Fire Marshal's Office, and DENRA. At least three of those as ex officio members. They're non-voting, but ex officio. They actually, years ago, and I'm talking about 30-plus years, a couple of them used to sit right up here at the public hearings and participate in the public hearings. On occasion now at request, commission and council both request LDOT participation on certain issues. Most time it's for traffic information, more than
right. Time.
But Jamie can check the naming legislation, it may be the same.
Yeah, I know. I know we had that issue.
Basically an offshoot of the commission. You're looking at the same regs, same ordinances. So.
I believe we had that issue last year when I covered a Planning and Zoning Commission meeting where I believe it was Mark Cote or Bill Brockenbrow from LDOT.
That had been back recently.
Yeah, and I think it came up about them actually being ex officio members at that time. So
I know it's LDOT Health and DENREC because George Dodd used to be with DENREC. He sat in on us for years. There was always a mix of different LDOT representatives for a couple of years to be one. Mostly they're from the planning section or the subdivision manager's office out of Dover. They weren't local sector, but there's no reason they couldn't be. As long as they're assigned by LDOT, they're a representative.
And the one thing that always to consider is it's still your decision. You know,
That's right. It's
just more tools in the toolbox, so to speak, information for you to digest.
So that's a good idea.
I can look into that about the enabling legislation. I for some reason think it was just for the commission.
Might be right. Yes. But the board, the commission, and the board are looking at the same rates. They're ex officio to the commission. The board's considering waivers and special exceptions or variances from the ordinance, which is enforceable by the commission. So I wondered if it's not.
Only thing I think may be difference there is the commission is not a quasi-judicial body.
I understand. No, I agree.
That may be the difference. I'll look at it, though.
Okay.
So, gentlemen, I guess if there's no other comments on the letter, I'll make a revision, have it circulated before the next meeting so we can vote on it, so yep. I can get it over to council.
Sure.
Sounds good.
Okay, good. Okay. Special use exception.